Canal des Deux Mers Bicycle Tour with BikeTourFrance.net. September 2026. Ride Day 8, Lézignan Corbière to Capstang. Few rides along the Canal du Midi are more closely connected to the vision of a single individual than today's route. Pierre-Paul Riquet, the engineer and entrepreneur who conceived the canal, left his mark throughout this landscape. The villages of Parazza, Alms, La Sommerie, and Capstang are not simply places the canal passes through. They are places that exist in their present form because of decisions Riquet made more than three centuries ago. The story begins at Parazza. During construction of the Canal du Midi between 1667 and 1681, Riquet resided at the Château de Parazza while overseeing portions of the project. Nearby stands one of the most important yet overlooked engineering works on the entire canal, the Pont Canal du Répoud. Completed between 1676 and 1680, it is considered the first canal aqueduct of its type in the world. Before its construction, engineers struggled with the problem of carrying canals across existing waterways. The solution developed here became a model for canal construction far beyond Languedoc and influenced waterway engineering throughout Europe. Not every story along today's route is one of innovation. Alms bears the scars of centuries of conflict. Originally a prosperous Gallo-Roman settlement known as Aldamus, it later became one of the most important commanderies of the Knights Hospitaller in southern France. The military religious order used Alms as a regional center from which it managed land, protected pilgrims, and supported crusading activity. Yet the village was repeatedly devastated by the same religious conflicts that shaped much of Languedoc. It suffered during the Albigensian Crusade and again during the Wars of Religion, reminders that southern France was often a frontier between competing faiths and political loyalties. The canal transformed Alms just as profoundly as warfare once had. What had been an agricultural village became an important canal port, linking local producers to markets across southern France. Grain, wine, livestock, and manufactured goods moved through a transportation network that for the first time connected the Atlantic and the Mediterranean by inland water. La Sommerie reveals another side of Riquet's genius. Today it appears almost impossibly picturesque, yet it began as a carefully calculated logistical solution. Riquet determined that canal post barges traveling from Toulouse should reach this point at sunset on the third day of their journey. The port, warehouses, inns, stables, and services that developed around this schedule were not accidental. They were part of a transportation system designed with remarkable precision. In 1787, Thomas Jefferson traveled the Canal du Midi and stopped at La Sommerie while studying European infrastructure. The future American president viewed canals as essential tools of economic development and later promoted similar improvements in the young United States. Food along this section of the canal reflects the region's long connection to trade and the Mediterranean. Anchoyade, a spread of anchovies, garlic, olive oil, and herbs, reflects centuries of commerce that carried preserved seafood inland from the coast. The unusual petit potato, paysanaz, combine sweet and savory flavors in a recipe traditionally linked to Indian cooks who passed through the region in the 18th century. Even local desserts such as creme catalane reveal the cultural exchange that flowed through Languedoc for generations. The ride ends in Capstang beneath the towering Collegiate Church of Saint-Étienne. Construction stretched across more than two centuries, producing one of the finest examples of Southern Gothic architecture in France. In 1906, the church received official protection as a historic monument. 90 years later, UNESCO recognized the Canal du Midi itself as a World Heritage Site. Together, they represent the two great forces that shape this landscape, faith and engineering.